If you've got John 6 open in front of you with the verse, you'll need that because we've got some more questions. This is everyone joining in today, not just me speaking, just to enliven us all after 2 days of feasting and slobbing about on the sofa, no doubt. Some of us have been walking on beaches as well, which has been very nice. So, the people, as we said, the people who enjoyed fish and bread were hunting for Jesus. And eventually they track him down. What do they ask him? Have a look in verse 25. What is it that they ask him?
When did you get here?
When did you get here? Well done, Kaka. Did you tell Joel the answer? Well done. When did you get here? Which really means, how did you get here? We've been looking for you everywhere. They'd seen the disciples get into the boat, but no Jesus. And the boat went off, and they're like, well, where was Jesus? Does Jesus answer their question? Have a look. Does Jesus answer their question? No, he doesn't, does he? He does what Jesus often does. They ask him one thing, but he says, no, we're going to actually talk about something else. So he doesn't answer their question. Why do you think, just now, the answer's not there, but just have a little think about what we've spoken about already. Why do you think Jesus doesn't tell them how he got there? First of all, how did he get there? Remind me. Brilliant, walking on water, okay. So just have a think, why doesn't he tell them that? Because they don't know that. Why doesn't he tell them that? Exactly, because they're quite focused on the miracles, aren't they? They've got really focused on the miracles. So Jesus giving them bread and fish and making that feed them all. And if he tells them, actually, I got here by walking on water, then they would just be like, oh, do us another miracle, Jesus. And actually, Jesus knows that's the issue with these guys. Remember, I said they're chasing after Jesus, which is a good thing to do, but they're chasing after him for the wrong reasons. And he doesn't want them to get more caught up in the wrong things. Have a look in verse 27. From what Jesus says, what is it that they want from Jesus? More food, more miracles. Yeah, exactly. And Jesus thinks that's not what they need. Okay? They wanted more food, more miracles. They wanted Jesus. Remember, just a day ago, the crowd were trying to make Jesus their king. And their king, well, they wanted a king that would provide food so they wouldn't have to work so hard. They wanted a king who would get rid of the Romans so they wouldn't be enslaved under the Romans. That's what they wanted in a king. And Jesus says, you need to understand what kind of king I am and what I've come to do and what I can offer you, which, although it's hard for you to imagine, is so much better than endless food and freedom from a Roman government. What does Jesus say in verse 27 is their real need? Not food. Yeah, thank you, Michael. Yeah, eternal life. Jesus starts to chat to them and he begins with these words, okay? And whenever Jesus says this, you get a bit worried because he says, I tell you the truth. In older versions of the Bible, it might say something like, verily I say unto you, or truly, truly. But when Jesus starts something by saying, I tell you the truth, what he's saying is, what I'm about to say is true. It's very important, but you're going to find it really hard to believe. When he talks about his resurrection, he talks about this. So whenever Jesus says this, okay, you can see our disciple here going, what? Mind blown. Because what Jesus is about to say is something that they will find really hard to believe. What is it that Jesus says that is really hard to believe? Now, we might not think, we might read it and go, yeah, I believe that. But what is it that Jesus says next that is really hard to believe? That's not a surprise, is it? What is it? See, the people here, what are they worried about? What's wrong with this guy here? What's he thinking about? This guy here. Enoch? Yeah, he's thinking about food and he's got an empty tummy. Can you see that? Oh, you don't because you've just had your nice bacon sandwiches. But this guy is worried about his empty tummy. And if you are hungry, it pretty fills your mind, doesn't it? if you're hungry. You're like, can't concentrate on anything else, really hungry. But Jesus says, do you know what? Hunger is an awful thing, and people who don't have enough food, it is an awful thing. But Jesus says there is something more important than an empty tummy. And that is an empty heart. And that's the thing that Jesus says that people find hard to believe. Because we all think, no, we must make sure everyone has enough food. I'm not saying we don't do that. But Jesus says there is something far more important than filling empty tummies. And he says that is having a full heart. Jesus doesn't say it in that way, but he says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Jesus says, having a full heart, having a right relationship with God, is more important than having a full tummy. And that is quite hard to get your head around, isn't it? Because suddenly we think, oh, but, you know, how can we do life if we don't have food and shelter and things like that? But Jesus says, having a full heart, a right relationship with God, is the most important things. You see, Jesus said to them, you're looking for me, which is a good thing to do, but you're looking for me for the wrong reason. And that's dangerous. You saw the miraculous sign, the feeding of 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, but now you're chasing after the miracle worker for more food instead of following where the sign points. Because remember, we talked about this earlier when we were looking at John's Gospel, didn't we? That the signs are there, they're miraculous signs. Okay, now have a think about this, okay? Let's just say we're going to Legoland. Who'd like to go to Legoland? Yeah, quite a few. Okay, just imagine, there you are, you've got in the car, you're on the way to Legoland, and you see a big sign at the side of the road, and it says, Legoland, 20 miles this way. Okay? What would happen if you... Are you going to stop the car there and get out? No, Joel says no. Why not, Joel? Okay, so what does the sign do? Points the way, doesn't it? The sign tells you where to go, but you don't stop at the sign. Imagine that. Pulled your car up, got your picnic out, sat underneath the sign going, we're at Legoland now. No, you're not. You just stopped at the sign. And Jesus says, that's what's wrong with these people. They've stopped at the signpost. They've stopped at the miracles and haven't looked where the sign is pointing. Don't stop there. Now, who can remember? Now, you can look in John's Gospel if you need to. But can you remember what John says the miracles point to? Now, I know in Sunday Seekers, you've had this on your wall all term. Alison put it on the wall for you. Can anyone remember what he says the signs point to? If you need to look, I'll give you a clue. It's in John chapter 20 and verse 31. What did John say at the end of, because his book, the signs were quite important in John's Gospel. What do the signs point to? Brilliant, exactly. That's what. So there they are, they've stopped at the sign, haven't they? They've stopped at the fish and bread with their full tummies, and they don't want to get any further, they just want fish and bread. But Jesus says, and that's what you've just read for us, Enoch, thank you. Remember, this is what John said about the signs, but these signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life, this eternal life that he's talking about in his name. Don't stop at the sign, go to the man behind it, Jesus. That's what the signs point to. So Jesus is saying, yes, guys, come after me, do seek after me, but do it for the right reasons. If you're just seeking after me to solve your problems, then you've missed out on the most important thing. Now let's just get this clear in our heads. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed a seal of approval. That's our verse. But let's just get clear. What is Jesus not saying? So on your tables, you're going to have to do a little bit of work on your tables. Okay? If you feel you need to change table at this point, go. Okay? But I've given you two verses there, 2 Thessalonians and Ephesians. Have a look at those verses and tell me something that Jesus is not saying, because we just need to get this clear in our heads. So I'll give you a minute or two on your tables to have a look at that and see if you can tell me what Jesus is not saying. Okay, good to hear lots and lots of chatting. Hopefully that wasn't about what you watched over Christmas on TV. So just so we get this straight in our heads, what does the 2 Thessalonians 3 passage tell us? Brilliant, yeah. So when Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils, we need to understand him correctly. And he's saying, no, do go out and work and earn so you can feed your family. Okay? So Jesus doesn't mean that it's wrong to earn a living. Keep that in your head. And then the Ephesians 1, what does that one teach us? Brilliant, okay? Because you might think that, you might read that when it says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food. It might sound like he's saying, work for food that endures eternal life. He's not saying that either. We know, don't we, that the gift of God is eternal life. The only way to have eternal life is a gift from Jesus. So that's just to make sure. And that's always a good thing to do. If you read something in your Bible and you think, oh, I'm not sure about that, go and have a look somewhere else at what it says somewhere else. So what is Jesus saying? So he's not saying it's wrong to earn a living, and he's not saying you have to work hard so you can have eternal life. Okay? What is he saying then? He's saying don't make food and other material stuff the main focus of your life. Yes, do go out to work, do earn money to feed your family, but don't make that the main focus. Remember, an empty heart is a much more serious thing than an empty tummy. We're made in God's image. We're made to relate to him. And an empty heart or an empty soul is eternally more dangerous than an empty tummy. So Jesus is saying the fundamental concern of our lives should be about eternal life. And eternal life can only be given to us by Jesus, because only he has the Father's seal of approval. That's what it says at the end of our motto verse. So do chase after Jesus. Do be like those people who ran all the way around the lake or whatever they did to find him. But do it because he is the giver of eternal life. He is the one who can fill our hearts and our tummies, it turns out, but he wants to fill our hearts first and foremost. What is Jesus saying to us then at the beginning of a new year about our prayers and our priorities? What's he saying to us as a church family about our prayers and our priorities? If this verse says, make eternal life our main concern, how will that affect our prayers and our priorities? Remember, we can still go out to work and earn to feed our families, but how can we make eternal life and full hearts for ourselves, but also for others that we meet? How can we make that our priority? I'm just going to pause for a little bit of silence. If you want to chat to others on the table about this, you can. If not, just have a think yourself. Maybe write down one or two things or just think of something. How will being more concerned with my eternal life, with the eternal life of those around me, how will that make a difference to what I pray and how I spend my time in the coming year? So I'll just give you a minute of silence to think about that. And I just think it's helpful at this point to remember the Lord's Prayer, and particularly the order of the Lord's Prayer. Because notice what comes first, our concern for God, for his name, his kingdom, and his will. That's all the things concerned with eternal life for us and for others. But what does Jesus say we can pray for every day as well? For our daily bread. Jesus does care. But he says, get things in the right order. Make eternal things the top of your list. And then come to me with your other concerns, because I do care about those as well. Why don't we say the Lord's Prayer together, acknowledging God's will and things of eternal matters need to be first in our lives. So we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.